even fully satisfy us. That's what the Bible tells us. They're simply not strong enough to last, no matter what the latest pop song might say. We know in our hearts, really, that love won't last forever, that it has its limits. And that limits can be in our own failures, our own sinfulness, but also in our own weakness, in our own mortality. We can't get around some of those things. But in the Bible, we're not only told that we're made for a relationship with each other, but we're made for a relationship with God. And we're familiar with the story, aren't we, that God, who created us, put us in a garden. Adam and Eve enjoyed that garden, filled with God's good things for them to enjoy. But most of all, it was filled with the relationship that they had with them. And they had one instruction, not to eat from the tree. But of course they did, didn't they? They, as we all know, or as we all do, broke that trust with God. Whatever else eating that fruit meant, it meant that in that moment they didn't trust that God had their best interests at heart. They thought they knew better themselves. They wanted to take for themselves rather than get it from God. They kind of wanted to be independent. And at that moment, that relationship with God broke down. And then all other relationships started to break down as well. And of course, those of you that have read the story, it's a sorry tale, isn't it, of broken relationships. And it chimes with our experiences as well. Sometimes we are fearful of trusting other people, and perhaps it could easily be with good reason. We've been let down in the past, but also we've failed as well. Our love can often be filled with self-interest rather than the other person's interest. Sometimes this can be the full extent of it sometimes, if we're honest. And love can then just be an exercise of power, getting the other person to do what you want for your benefit. Maybe we've been victims, maybe we've been villains, maybe we've been a bit of both. But it leaves us in the dark, doesn't it? It leaves us alone and not at peace. And that's the difficulty with these relationships. But the Bible, however, human relationships can point back to that relationship that we so desperately need with God, with our Creator. And God, in His grace, describes that relationship with us in human terms very often. Abraham is described as a friend of God. The children of Israel are also the children of God. And in the Psalms, God sort of expresses His love for them comparing it to the love of a father. Will I not also love you as a father loves his child? And of course, Jesus picks up that in some of His parables. And indeed, in the Lord's Prayer, we're asked to pray, "Our Father." That is absolutely astounding when you think about it. We address the God of the universe, the God of heaven, the God of creation as our Father. The church is described as the bride of Christ, described as beautiful and without blemish. But how can we be described like this when we're so guilty, so messed up, so broken, so dirty? How can that happen? Well, the Bible, from the moment that we ate the wrong fruit, from the moment of Genesis 3, it describes the story of God's love pursuing us, of bringing us back to Himself. And Paul, in this letter that we've been looking at one chapter of it, has been explaining how this takes place. And as we've looked through Romans 8 together, we've seen that actually, what started with a tree ends with a tree. Adam and Eve took the fruit from the tree they were told not to. And as a consequence, Jesus died on a wooden cross, a tree outside the city. He took the consequence. He stood in our place. God the Father was separated from God the Son because of our sin, because of our brokenness. And as we've gone through Romans chapter 8, we've seen Paul celebrating the completeness of this work. There's no condemnation because it's completely fallen on what Jesus has taken. We don't have to live the way we've always lived because there's no obligation to our selfishness, but actually we've got an obligation to live towards the Spirit. And that means there's no desperation. We can look at the world around us and we can be caused to despair, but actually because of what God has done, because of His Spirit working within us, we have the hope of eternity with Him. And there's no because there's no condemnation, there's no accusation. When we're accused, when the devil comes accusing us, we just point them to Jesus. One final objection then. You see, even the best human love has its limits. No matter how loving or husband or wife or parent or brother or sister or friend has the power to love ongoing, eternally, and in every situation. We just can't do it. You maybe remember being at school and saying, well, I'll get my big brother onto you, or I'll get my dad onto you. Well, what if your dad's not big enough? What if your brother is not strong enough? It can happen, can't you? The parent may wish with all their heart to take away the pain from a child. They might even want to take their place, but they just simply can't. Paul reminds us that Christ has stood in our place. That Christ has taken it all for us. And therefore, who can separate us from God's love? Christianity is so real to our circumstance, isn't it? We don't become Christians and they're suddenly lifted out of the difficulties and the problems. But actually, in those problems, in those difficulties, in the things that Paul describes, and he kind of basically describes everything that can possibly happen to us. He deals with the reality of suffering and say it doesn't disprove God's love. What threatens to overwhelm us is actually overwhelmed by the power of God's love for us, overwhelmed by Christ. God is able to take all these difficult circumstances and inject them with His love. Just go back to verse 37. It's not just that God's love is a match for those sufferings. It's actually that He's able to work for our good. It's not even that whatever doesn't destroy us will make us stronger, because even death can't separate us from the love of God. You know, what can destroy us in this world cannot destroy us, cannot separate us from the love of God, because we have a hope that is beyond that as well. Paul is utterly convinced of this. Not because of his own brilliance, not because of his own intellect or because of what he's done, but he's convinced of it because it's in Christ that he experiences this love. It's through his Spirit that this is witnessed in his soul, if you like. In verse 35, it talks about Christ's love. Not Paul's love for God, but Christ's love for us. Verse 37, it's Christ who loved us. Verse 39, it's the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is, it's revealed in what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes we're not always convinced of God's love, are we? Sometimes we find it difficult, and that's understandable. Sometimes we find ourselves in really difficult circumstances. But this passage reminds us that it doesn't separate us from the love of God. And actually, as I said, it injects God's love into the reality, and we can experience sometimes more of God's love in those difficult circumstances. We can experience more of His holding on to us, and we can experience more of the hope that we have as Christians, that this is just temporary and we have an eternal home. So our circumstances, our present situation, cannot separate us from the love of God, living in the reality of that. And the question is, will you trust that love? Will you trust this love? Can you trust this love? And that's the challenge for us today, isn't it? Can we trust this love? Can we trust that God is for us? In the garden, they thought, well, God isn't for us. But actually, God has given us a chance to trust that love again, to look at Him and say, yeah, this love is eternal. This love is unstoppable. This love is unbreakable. This love is unshakable. It doesn't depend on us, but it depends on Him. Amen. I think we've got another video which sort of...